I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Hero. I've been there. Hero.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life, and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Welcome to the Hashtag MoleEdge Podcast. Every week, live from the state capitol. This week, we are in Representative Kevin Engler's office overlooking the beautiful Missouri River. Representative, thank you for having us.
Happy to have you here.
As always, we have our 2016 Podcast Co-host of the Year, Becky Lohman. Thanks for coming back.
Of course. It's hard to hide from you in the building, right? So I come back probably more out of necessity than anything. But I'm happy to be here.
We got a lot of spies. Of course, every week, we want to thank Podcast Executive Producer, Ben Peters, thank you, sir, for being here again.
Thank you.
Let's start off. We did a poll. So, Rachel, you can always tell things around here run much better when Rachel's not on maternity leave. And so she did this poll that asked, what do people want to hear? They wanted to hear your thoughts on the speaker's race, and then we doubled down with who. So let me start from the beginning. A speaker's race, you've been in leadership, you've served in the House, you've served in the Senate. What is your read on this particular leadership race, and what do people need to do if they want to run for leadership?
Well, it's an interesting proposition to have to choose the speaker designee a year out.
Do you agree with that process?
I think I do, because especially now with a lot of the fundraising was done rep to rep. Can't do that anymore. So you're going to have to raise money for the HRCC in order to fund races, and that's important, and you can't do it during, I don't think it's ethical to do much fundraising at all during sessions, so it gives you it gives you a window right before the end of the year to raise money, and then you have to immediately start after the session, and you have to know who that person is, because they're going to have more clout getting in. I've been there, was the Majority Leader Center. When you call, people take your calls more often, they see you more often. If you're not, you're just maybe the possibility of, then you don't get the same attention.
So in this particular race, I always think it's interesting. You never know who's going to run, but right now it appears Elijah Hart is running. It appears Robert Cornell is running. And on This Week in Missouri Politics last week, Holly Rader announced she was running. Where do you think the race is? Is anybody you're supporting?
Well, I'm not supporting anybody outright, but I think it's Elijah's to lose. I mean, he's in a position. That's same. I've been in that position. I was the number two person. It was mine to lose, and I lost it on the tie vote, if you remember that, on the flip of the coin. But that's because the right-wing nuts took over, and they are still running the show in the Senate now, even almost 5 years later.
What'd you say, though? You've served in both bodies. It looks to me like there are surprises in the Senate. In the House, the front runner has a much better, higher percentage of winning, right?
Well, yeah, because the numbers. You can turn your basketball team around much quicker than you can your football team. There's five players versus 11.
I like that analogy.
The same way in the Senate, when you only have to pick off two or three people leaning compared to 15 or 20 that are leaning, the game's different.
Yeah, if you're two votes behind as opposed to 60 votes behind, that's a different conversation,
so
right?
You served in the House when they elected the Speaker, I guess,
afterwards.
At caucus after the general election, right? Yes. And the people that got elected voted, and then it was changed while you were in the Senate, I guess. Now you're back, and you've seen speakers' races. What's the difference in the designee race a year and a half out, besides the fundraising? If you're trying to win it, how does that change the dynamic?
Well, the biggest factor is whether the senior class gets to vote. There's a big senior class this time, and if they decide to let the senior class vote, that's huge, because you've already built it. And I think they should.
Why is that?
Because you've seen the people. Mm-hmm. You've got the most experience, and even though the governor thinks that experience isn't important, you know who's got the temperament and the fortitude and the tact to be able to do it, compared to a freshman that all he's got is a check from people. And they might be able to write a check, but they may not have the temperament or the skills or the abilities to forge compromise and to get things done.
But to play devil's advocate, do you think there is... I mean, you guys are voting on a speaker that would never that would never be your speaker, right? So do you think there's something there to be said for...
Do you think that the seniors that have served here for 8 years would intentionally vote on somebody that think would do a bad
certainly,
job?
Oh, certainly not. I'm trying to, you know, to play devil's advocate. Do you think collectively your class, everybody wants to vote, or do you think that there are people that think shouldn't vote?
I think that there's some people in my class that wouldn't know what you're voting on.
So, and when do you guys determine that? How do you determine if seniors vote or not?
I think there's a vote.
Some sort of process.
Caucus vote.
Yeah.
It looks to me like the process I've seen you guys do, the seniors vote unless somebody makes a motion that you shouldn't, and then that has to pass.
That may be the case. Okay. But, yeah. I don't care.
There's so many seniors.
If we end up voting, we don't end up voting. Doesn't make me a difference. But I think if you want me to talk about people that have looked at people and watched people operate, then just people that...
And like you said, you have the experience. You've seen how it works. You've seen the process.
That's right.
You've seen who makes a good leader and who doesn't.
That would be my take on it. So, the only thing I did see that was kind of weird is the governor taking a position on this. I think that was probably ill-advised if he in fact did take a position.
That's been reported by Dave Dreeves. Most people, I've not heard anybody disagree with it. Have you heard? Has the governor reached out to you?
From the second floor. No. They wouldn't have any region reach out to me, but I can tell you the caucus took it as somebody meddling in their affairs and probably was not a positive toward her.
Yeah, I don't know that that's even a reflection on the governor as much as a reflection on, I've seen state politics in three states now. I think generally the House wants
I've seen dogfights in two. Go ahead.
I think that they want, generally the House wants a speaker for the House, right? Not somebody that may owe favors to another branch.
And I would say that if they thought that the other branch was having influence, they would probably go a different direction, for the most part.
Yeah, but these are interesting times. I mean, I think that we...
Maybe David Humphreys can help tell everybody who the speaker's going to be.
So I wondered that. So we had Jean Evans on the show, just kind of happened to fall that way. She's from St. Louis. She's very good to do the show. She was very pointed if the governor wanted to vote in the speaker as he's running for the House. Now, she's taking a lot of money from David Humphreys, so I wonder if that influence goes as just the governor or if that is David Humphreys.
I don't know. I talked to somebody yesterday that was sitting back there. They took $50,000 from David Humphreys and has never met him. That's great, but I've been this long time. How do you take $50,000 from somebody and tell them no? He said, I can tell them no, I don't even know him. Wait, you'll hear from him.
Well, it looks to me like Jean Evans, I don't know what...
Of course, we've got an attorney general that took $2 million and is talking about how unethical we are, but that's...
Got to ask you about this. So, to me, Josh Hawley is obviously an impressive guy, but how do you run an ad that says politicians just want to get elected so they can run for the next office and move up the ladder?
And then immediately run for the
next
office.
And then 11 weeks in, run for another office.
Politicians are selling influence, and they take $2 million from one individual. Boy, you don't... I know, and his wife is such delightful, talking about how terrible people we are. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know that I've been here 15 years, and I've cost my children hundreds of thousands of dollars by not working. I don't. I give my money after tax to charity, and I don't take gifts. I've never taken a trip on anything. She doesn't know me, and to say on ads what I'm doing, I probably will not be voting for Josh Hawley.
Why did not? So, my opinion of the legislature is
that clear now? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
or his wife. Because she's probably running for attorney general.
It's been my take that I've seen people do very good things. I remember working in the House when the Democrats ran the legislature, and it was a liberal legislature, produced liberal policies, and I don't remember the editorial boards thinking it was unethical. The ethics issue seemed to come when they started passing conservative policies. I don't know.
I was here. It was more freewheeling years ago. You had people drinking constantly. You had Anheuser-Busch stopping by and delivering beer every day. One of my farmer reps that I came up, I was shocked to open the refrigerator. It was packed, and somebody was delivering every day. Things were different. But things are different now. You are more likely to find a Bible study in this place than a huge party. They used to party in the Senate all the time. It was a different place.
Yeah, the perception is different.
It was different. You didn't have cell phones that recorded everything, but I mean, it was different. It has been cleaned up, and sanitized. Now, out of the 200 people that serve, are there some idiots? Absolutely.
But that's reflective of the general population,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes, yes.
You have 200 people. Representatives for a reason.
Well, you have teachers and you have, you know, dentists that do, you know, are bad actors, and that's the same in the legislature. Right? I mean, that's a reflection of general population.
I'd say it's, but the bad actors are less than the general population. I have
a very big
faith of the people that I work with and a lot of us that have sacrificed in here, and then we have to hear how what we're unfaithful and we're doing this and what doing that. I could stay home and make a lot more money.
Well, you guys are under the microscope, right? So those bad actors are weaseled out pretty quickly and they hit the road.
You're not having a 15-year career misbehaving.
That's just not going to happen in
2017. Even the post-disgrace. As admitted when he put me in charge of doing the ethics thing, that nobody could challenge my ethics because I don't put myself in compromising positions. Now, do I say things that are a little off color sometime? Absolutely. I've said this past week when I was emceeing a banquet, I did a couple things, but that's me. I make fun of fat people, Catholic people. I'm
that's
an equal opportunity,
right?
but
that's
not unethical.
Yeah, exactly.
Do I say things that get me in trouble, but unethical? I would challenge anybody, even if they were on the TV commercials being paid for by the one guy, to call me.
So I have a little TV show, and generally throughout the election, I would have legislators on, and I would tell them I don't think they're corrupt. I don't see any evidence of that. I think they're probably good people doing their best, but their nominee for governor seemed to think they were corrupt embarrassments. Why do more people not say what you just said?
Well, because it's easier to portray the people up here as the way they're being portrayed.
Why don't the people fight back, though? Why are they just kind of like...
Because you can't convince. You can't convince people. You can't convince people that it's not. They just assume that... And they see the federal government, and the federal government has not been the best example. When the federal government votes on bills that doesn't affect... Mm-hmm. When they have a different retirement plan, when they have a different medical plan than everybody else, and they have this this desire, there is some... And they can't distinguish the two. I hear all the time, you get paid so much. Really? 33,000 something last year. I got paid and I helped manage a $29 billion business. Show me a $29 billion business that's paying their people $33,000. I don't care. I give them most of it away, but that's one of the reasons we can't get more high quality people is because mm-hmm. we
I saw on Twitter a few days ago some woman was jabbing the legislature and said, oh, I bet they voted for pay raises for themselves. Like that, to your
which
point.
Which we haven't in 15 years.
Yes. And I responded because I kind of get defensive about you guys. I mean, you're away from your wife, you know, your kids, your husbands, your families for 4 months of the year. You're getting paid $30,000. You are working your butts off, long hours. You're getting nasty phone calls and emails from people, and everyone thinks this is the cake job, and you're just kicking your heels up.
Yeah.
And so,
but you see the federal government, they're making 100 and whatever, 60, 70, it goes up every year.
Everyone thinks that the state legislature and the United States government.
I bet 20% of my people in the Senate district thought I went to Washington, D.C.
Probably that's low.
And that's...
Yeah.
And so they just assume you're in that group. It's a lot different. And then, you know, when I get home tomorrow afternoon, I'll have to see clients. I've got clients on Good Friday. I got clients on Saturday morning in order to see the people. So I work and I make no bones that we work hard and we could do a better job, but the vast majority of the people are up here for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And to have everybody bashing, including the governor and the attorney general, just because it works, because the approval rating for elected officials is low. So if you bash them, mm-hmm. it elevates you. That doesn't make you a better or smarter person.
Let me ask you on that
topic. Is
that
controversial enough? Are you going to go ahead and...
Well, I agree with that. That's actually a more articulate form of what I've said for a long time. I didn't get a Christmas card from the Attorney General this year either, but I guess...
He's never been to my county. 75,000 people.
And I guess that when I say it's a different world, maybe that's the world where...
It's time to run the Senate. He's had eight solid weeks.
Yeah. I read the article that said you've done an outstanding job as Attorney General.
I was embarrassed. For John Danforth, I was embarrassed. I understand the other people. I mean, if you're David Humphreys, you already own him. You got to get your investment back. But for John Danforth, who I've respected since I was in high school, to say, oh, he has done such a good job, we have to have him run, that was embarrassing. If I see him, I will tell it to his face.
So in your chamber, though, you pass ethics bills that say no lobbyist gifts, which I think reasonable people could say. All the different... And I thought, well, you know, the way some of these ethics bills came out, the way the current leadership came in, I understand some of the way things naturally happen. And you guys passed those bills early, and the Senate slowed them down. Maybe that's the way that should work. But
Let me point out here, the state of the state, we had to hear about how we had to be ethical and couldn't take anything free, and then we're invited down to the governor's office for free food. Ironic? I don't know, but that's our point here. Things like that do not influence you. When you go to, you have to go, if I have to go to the dental association, I've got nothing against dentists, and eat the beanie weenies and cauliflower, it is not affecting me. Now, if you take me to a fancy restaurant in Columbia and spend $200 on me, I get it. You shouldn't do that. But the buffets that you don't even know who is spending, but you're nice enough to go see your constituents at, I'd just soon not go.
And don't you think transparency is the key? I mean, if you want to go take that $200 steak dinner and your constituents see that, then they get to make the determination if they send you back or not.
You could ask Jim Lemke about that.
And I mean, banning things doesn't make them go away. Making them illegal does not make them go away.
You're right. He told me when I was majority leader, and I said, geez, Senator, you're at the top of the list. He said, my people won't care. It won't matter. What was the number one thing they attacked?
It did matter, yeah.
It did matter. And so you're right, transparency does. Does that make Jim a terrible person? No, but transparency does expose
the
people. So you pass a big batch of ethics bills. The governor continues to call you corrupt politicians. The Senate slows them down. Then you guys come out, and instead of addressing dark money, you address county government gifts.
Like, what, did you hear me speak that day?
Yeah, but why does your caucus, if you're going to...
What I'm worried about is that bill pass, and we hold the county officials to ethics, but we don't hold ourselves. That's ridiculous.
Or even if you hold yourselves to whatever, but you don't even, like, you're worried about a $5 cup of coffee at the Pemiscot County Courthouse in Caruthersville. What about the $2 million that gets spent 50 feet below you?
You mean the dark money?
Yeah.
Is dark calling the kettle black, or the black, I don't know what it is. Maybe dark money or black money with the kettle. But I you know, I don't know. I don't understand that theory. I wish people would quit calling each other unethical unless there's a reason to. And I've never been unethical up here, and I challenge, which I have before, these people to do it to my face.
I don't actually think Eric Ryan is necessarily unethical.
No, I
think
don't
it's a hypocritical statement to call other people unethical.
That's up for him to make that decision. I'm making that... That decision. I'm just saying, I get tired of hearing the candidates and their spouses call me unethical on TV when I'd like to see them prove it.
Interesting. Do you think that the legislature addresses dark money at all?
I don't think so.
Do you think the Senate lets the ethics bills you guys have passed become law?
I don't think so.
I think
I don't think the Senate can pass gas for any degree of certainty right now. They may pass it, they may not pass it. But to say yes, something's going to get passed or not get passed, you'd have to be a psychic.
You know a lot of folks over there, though. To me, I think you could pass an ethics bill, but you'd have a dark money and an inaugural donor bill attached to it.
That'd be okay with me.
Yeah.
If we're going to get ethics, let's get clean. Mm-hmm. If we're going to wash the car, we might as well wash the truck.
Oh, and speaking, I want to thank our sponsor, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, for sponsoring the podcast here. We are live in the in Representative Engler's office overlooking the beautiful Missouri River. Thank you again for having us.
I even put the dog out to the waiting room, and she's waiting. but it's good. I appreciate you coming down. I know I'm...
What do you think of the state budget, though? No, while you're frank, we want to maximize our time. What do you think of the budget?
Like get all the questions.
Well, it's got some issues. We're going to have to deal with some things in the Senate. But I got criticized huge over voting for the charter bill. Yeah. And when it's remember the original form, it was first-class counties could have charter no matter what. It was not balancing the budget. It was not holding the charter schools accountable. And quite honestly, myself and several others made the deal, say, okay, you want our votes? Here's what you need to do. You need to fully fund the farm. First, because you can't criticize the district if you admittedly say it's underfunded. Then you have to hold them accountable. Then you have to have them, local school boards, have some control, which they do, and give them some, because they have to adjust their teacher and their and if you do those things and not make it an automatic for first class county, the trigger should be a poor education, not size of county. And they did those things, and then I voted for it, and I called my wife the next morning. I said, hell, I think we got a great deal. We got $50 million more for education. None of my school districts are affected. They're all in their 80s or 90s. They're going to pick up a six-figure extra sum, and if they don't get it, then it doesn't go through. This is a no-lose situation. Then opened up my emails, and it was 100-something emails, how terrible person I am. And it's just... And then I heard one of the other reps say, you know, we negotiated, and we got the fully funded farm, and I voted no. You don't negotiate anything and vote no. Nobody gives you anything. Yeah. If you think they gave you that, they gave us that, that negotiated our votes to get those trades, they just didn't give the people that voted no. He could have got them to vote no and give up nothing.
And will there be a charter school in Poplar Bluff? I think highly unlikely.
Unlikely. It probably needs to be for the junior high. I hear they rate 42%. Somebody needs to address something, but it might cause the school board to say, we have to address this. We need to do something. And if there's going to be a charter, we're going to do it, and we're going to figure out what the best is. Is it vocation? Should we get these kids on a vocation track? Should we get them on a foreign language track? Should we get them on a STEM? What can we do to improve the test scores? It may cause that to happen without a charter.
A charter school is a business. Businesses go where they can make money.
And you're only going to make money for 250 kids. That's what they said in the... Well, Bismarck, our West County may start with... They don't have 250 kids!
It's not.
How are they going to do that? And we're not paying for the transportation to go over there. And I asked the superintendent, I said, what kind of kids would... Parents would drive their kids over to Bismarck to go to school? I said, ones that we kicked out or were suspended or...
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you really want them? We're going to give you 10% for them to... For the send them over there, you know, the local school district. And so he got it, and that's a good thing. But I said some of the things in the budget aren't what they appear all the time. We're going to have to do a better job in the pension. That was never discussed, how much we put in the state pension.
Can you keep your credit rating?
We can keep the credit rating, but the pension surpluses are so... We aren't worse than hardly anybody else. It's just they're all underfunded. It's going to be one of the next... There's going to be a fiscal crisis coming either in student loans or unfunded pensions soon. And I don't know which one will happen first, but both of them. These people are happy when something gets 70%. That means three in 10 people get screwed. I saw a sign one time in a bar. It said, we screwed the last person in order to pass the savings along to you. Well, that may be a good philosophy, but it doesn't work for you as your pension, because 3 out of 10 people aren't going to be happy with not getting the pension. You know, so you see what I'm saying? So you're just delaying the inevitable by not being funded. So we have to fund that better.
Who are you going to support for U.S. Senate?
You know, I don't know yet, but I hope that somebody comes through that would actually come to my county. And I think that would be good. Maybe somebody that has more than 8 weeks experience, that's a lifetime politician now. I don't know what I'm not happy with Ann Wagner. I thought she was stupid in her withdrawal of support for Donald Trump. That was ill-advised. I'm hoping there will be another candidate that comes forward. I was excited at the possibility when the race car driver from Columbia said he was thinking about running. I think he could have won it hands down. What's his name?
Carl Edwards.
Carl Edwards. Don't tell me Carl Edwards couldn't win statewide?
Hey, name recognition plays a big part.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? You know, after two nights ago, maybe Adam Wainwright wants to take a look at it. I mean,
could be. But, I mean, you know, the only thing is he couldn't have to just learn to turn left. He'd have to turn right some. And for a race car driver, that's difficult.
What about David Wassinger? Do you know him?
Who?
David Wassinger?
No.
What about Ryan Silvey?
I like Ryan Silvey. Yeah. You know, where Ryan Silvey will have a difficult time because he's not a right-wing nut. And it's gotten to the point of our primary, you have to have a right-wing nut to win the primary when 70% of the people are not right-wing nuts. But unfortunately, a majority of the people that actually vote in the Republican primary turn out to be that you have to be right. You have this litmus test. You've got to be this, 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 this. That's not the way the majority of the people are. That's why he would have a difficult time.
How's Donald Trump doing?
You know, on some of the things, I should say look. That's the biggest thing that everybody says now. Look, look. Before, what does that mean? Look, Donald Trump, I heard Newt Gingrich say it 10 times this morning. Look, look, that's a great question. Look, here's the point. Look, Donald Trump has had some challenges, but hopefully they'll get something done with the health care. He got a Supreme Court nominee done. I was not a Donald Trump fan, but he has done what he said he's going to do. I thought his response in... Syria was precise, it was decisive, and it did what it was. It was just a pinprick, but it was a reaction saying, you know what, don't do it again. And if Obama would have done that back in 2013, we could have issued a no-fly over the whole area. Then the people could have taken care of themselves, but we let Russia come in because we did not do anything when we said don't cross this line. At least he is reacting on a reasonable level, saying we are here and we are not going to let you gas.
Can America win a civil war in Syria?
They don't have to. Hopefully the Syrians can win it. But the Americans, if they're going to continue to do gas attacks.
I guess the Americans won the Civil War. I mean,
yeah, once I did. but you don't want to have troops on the ground, but there could be other things to impose. You can't let Russia continue to expand all over the globe, or we will be back in a Cold War era. So from that end of it, the Supreme Court, the regulations, getting rid of it is the biggest thing he's done so far. Stopping some of the stupid regulations, delaying, for example, the Department of Labor's rule on retirement plans. It's already cost our company almost $50 million. Even though we agree with the concept, some of the implementation is just hideous, but nobody cares. We had a bill today down in conservation with EPA. They're ridiculous. They're ridiculous. It's time to rein them in. And some of those directives that the fourth branch of government has done the last few years, the bureaucrats that just continue to write regulations, and he's reining those in, will have the biggest effect if we can get some tax cuts. In order to get the tax cuts, I do think we need to do the health care reform. We need to get some of the right-wing nuts in line. We don't have to do everything exactly as it was proposed, but we have to, because there's a lot of significant tax savings there that we could use for the tax bill.
I want to always take this opportunity to thank our sponsors, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. And now Becky Lohman brings her five questions to Representative Kevin Englund.
Five questions for Representative Englund. There you go. Question one, who would play you in a movie about your life?
It should be male.
It can be whoever you want. These are your five questions.
Yul Brynner would have been good early, but back in my younger days, I looked like James Caan. I always looked like James Caan if it was a young James Caan.
Or I was going to say,
you don't
like
know who
maybe,
James Caan is.
No,
that's
I have
before
no idea
you,
who James Caan is.
Corleone.
What's the guy? Yeah, the Godfather.
I was going to say maybe like Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, okay.
Bruce Willis, yeah. The gold team, yeah.
Out there, the glass.
Yeah, it can happen.
That's a great thing. Okay. Question two, you're stranded on a desert island with one member of the Missouri legislature. Who do you pick?
Boy, that is a really good question.
Thank you very much.
Good.
I would...
That Uber building passed itself.
You know what? I would probably pick somebody like Craig Redmond.
Okay.
Or somebody, because I tell you what.
For survival or for companionship or what?
To laugh. You're going to be up Shit Creek, and you better have somebody that's willing to laugh at the situation you're in. It was like the guy that three guys got stranded on the desert island, and the two of them were going nuts, lighting fires and trying to put up help, and the other guy wasn't doing anything. And he said, what are you doing? He says, hey, a couple weeks, I miss church, and don't drop the envelope, and the minister will find me. So if you had somebody on there that was funny, I think that would be helpful.
In that red suit, dude. He's got to wear the red suit.
Oh, my gosh.
That's beautiful.
I don't know where he finds this stuff.
He has the best suits.
He does, but I don't know if he goes to... I don't know. That's even better than Goodwill. I mean, the problem I worry about is him walking around by open flames. Because, man, if he gets close to one of those
things... That thing will go up.
That's right.
Or he's just wandering through the Capitol Plaza at the Missouri Pimps Association. Yeah. They would be electing chairman, you know?
Do you know how many...
Who lobbies for them? Let's vote.
There you go.
Do you know how many polyesters had to die to make those suits? All right, number three.
Oh, God. Number three. If you could be dictator of Missouri, what is the first law you'd change? What would you do if you could wave your magic wand? These are tough questions, huh?
They are tough questions.
They are.
No designated.
You know.
I know what?
Designated
hitter. He said no designated hitter.
Yeah, that'd be good for the... But no, I think that... I think that if we could get some type of truth serum to where people would have to, especially in this building, would have to look at you, and you could go with their word. I think that would be something philosophically. I think one of the things that if I was in King of the World, I think that there are ways that we could make this state more attractive to outside business that would employ our people, and I think that would help our inner cities and the country. And I think I've got some ideas on that. I'd love to see it happen. I've led before, and I don't know, there may be some other time before I die, get a chance to lead again, and that's what I would look for, opportunity for economic development, and let everybody come up to their level of competence.
Get government out of the way.
And just let them go.
Yeah, I agree. Question four, what is one weird habit that you have that our listeners wouldn't know?
This could be good.
Could be bad also.
This is this would be weird. I give talks on prayer life, and I talk about praying in periods when you think, like, if I go by in my district a statue of Mary, then that results in a prayer. If I'm doing sit-ups, I thank God. And one of the things that the listeners would probably find weird is if I'm peeing, I'm praying. You know, because you know you're not really doing anything unless
that's
unless
quite the quote. That's and quite
I'm,
the line.
I'm sorry, but I'm thanking God for my health. And now it used to be, you know, when I was younger, I couldn't get a Hail Mary, and now I'm getting to the age where I can do a whole rosary. Is that funny enough?
Oh man, yeah, that's perfect. That's a perfect answer. So we're going to move on to question five. Who won the week?
On
in the Missouri legislature, who won the week? So I'm going to jump in. So
I think Rob Schaub is narrowing his focus.
I agree.
May have more success than
last week, because I think we're talking about maybe this week is better. Last week, the Senate got nothing done. I think the people lost the week. I think the zanies in the Senate won the week. But this week, there's been a little bit more done. Things like Uber and that type thing. The House floor, the House floor is functional. But I think that we have two or three bills that we need to figure out how we get done. I think the discrimination bill is essential. It's the biggest business bill that we've had in the last 5 years. And we've had that bill for 10 years. I get a kick out of them saying, well, Gary Romine did this for... Lager had that bill before Gary Romine.
You know Gary Romine better than anybody here. Is Gary Romine a racist person?
He is not. He's one of the finest people I know. He's worked for me, and he's worked with me. He's one of the finest people I know, and this is just a bad rap. This is not right. I have people. I have clients. I've got clients that own restaurants. One of them had somebody that would refuse to wear their shoes because they weren't going to get fired. And their attorney said, you can't fire. It's going to cost you $10,000. You're better off paying the food fine. This is happening all over the state of Missouri. This is costing people. One of our biggest grocery chains in the state told me they cannot fire anybody unless they're white between 20 and 50. Otherwise, everybody knows if you get fired, you get a check. Because no good attorney will tell you that would be beyond a shadow of doubt, I can take it to court and I can win the case that proves 100% they had nothing to do with their age or their sex so that needs to be done. The fact that he had that experience gives him more experience to talk about it. Now, this has nothing to do with that case. That case has been settled. This does not go out and retroactively affect anything. It doesn't do a Humphreys where you're trying to influence that. But it does have somebody that has expertise with all those employees with the problems that we have right now in letting anybody go. I had a bank in Farmington tell me that they had an employee that refused to follow FDIC rules. In the paperwork, they could not fire them because they were in a protected group, and it was going to cost them $10,000 or more. That's the type of bills that we need to pass to make a successful session.
If I recall, the way that Senator Schaefer got sideways with Mizzou was over Mizzou settling harassment claims, lawsuits.
Well, how about the one we just settled, a $2 million one on Baker, because she was incompetent. I've seen the department. She was incompetent, and she won $2 million, and there's more to follow.
Last question. What's the Cardinals' record going to be this year?
I think they'll be lucky if they go over 500. I'm going to go see them at Baltimore. I'm going to see them at Philadelphia. They have got to get – they've got the nucleus of good people, but they're going to have to get rid of some of the people that are dying
first. I think to have a team, you have to have that one hitter, that Jack Clark, you have that Albert Pujols. You have to have a guy that you don't want to face in the ninth.
I pitched in college. I faced Jack Clark cannot beat you. If you give me a string of Carpenters and people like that can get on a roll and hit doubles and singles and just keep pounding you and you have no let up, I think you need six or seven good hitters that you can face and hit.
The score run,
you know, I pitch around Clark. I would never give him a chance to hit me out of
but
the park.
I think you're making the guy, you're going to pitch to Molina differently in the seventh, or you might pitch around him if you don't care.
Right.
I don't think people feared Matt Holliday by the time he was with the Cardinals his last season. It looks to me like you, and if you have a left-hander that's a thumper, you might use that lefty specialist early. You might save him to the end. Yeah. I think it changes how the opponent
pitches. I admit I don't think they've got enough to win the league, but I think they've got enough to be a better-than-average ball player.
Do you think Leak can...
You know, Leak, we spent a lot of money for him, and he has been less than adequate. I mean, he has got to play. Lynn's got to. You've got to have the pitching dominates. If you have a rotation that goes through that first cycle like they did, then we're going to be okay. But this last cycle, you know, they got ERAs around room temperature.
What's Wainwright got left?
Maybe a couple years of spot time, spot starts. That's about it. Unfortunately, he's one of my favorite ball players. But if he doesn't start pitching smarter, he can't overpower people anymore. He has to locate. He has to have the ball move. He can't just try to outthrow somebody on a 3-2 count and throw it by him, because he's not going to throw it by him at 91 miles an hour or 92 miles an hour.
We got to end this on the upside. What are you going to do when you're done in the house?
It's a great question. I'm thinking about starting a think tank. I'm just thinking about it. if I can get somebody fun. I don't know what I'm going to do. I look at some of my my peers that have retired, because I'm retiring from my other job too, and some of them have tried different hobbies and things. And the only thing that seems to stick is binge drinking. And
you could be an Uber driver. You could be an Uber driver.
You could walk around. You know,
not as a binge drinker.
I was going to say that the binge drinking.
That would prohibit you from it per the bill, right now.
It's not signed yet, Becky.
It's not. It's certainly not signed.
I don't know what I'm going to do. My wife is freaking. Because she thinks I'm going to come home all the time. But because I've worked two jobs for 20-something years. But I want an opportunity at 60 years old to say I want to do something that I like. It may be a nonprofit situation. Maybe running for a county office. Our county is a first-class county that acts like a third-class county. Unbelievable. We went first-class a few years ago, and the only thing that's changed is our employees make more money. Our office holders, not the employees. But nothing else has changed. At some point, I'm going to be an advocate for that. I don't know if it's going to be an official capacity or an unofficial capacity, but we need to decide if it would be better if we did charter farm government. We need to decide our fire protection. We don't even have animal control outside the city of Farmington. I think St. Genevieve County, third class county, has that. We don't have so many things. We don't have any economic development, and we're supposed to be a first class county. Let's start acting like one, and hopefully we could push that button. My wife gets a little bit worried when I start talking about that. I want to go back, but I like the mayor job is the best job I had. If you're a leader, you want to lead, and you want to have the opportunity to get something done. You were there, we worked. Every time I see the 4-lane highway going to I think of our meeting there on the state line, however many years ago, 16, 17 years ago, when we were both mayors of town, I'm a little mad that Arkansas didn't come up with their end of the bargain, but leaders lead. And if you don't, you might as well just die and go away, because there are things that need to be done, whether it be, you know, my wife and I have helped start charities there. I might help lead that, but I probably will still lead something.
I remember going to my first MML meeting in St. Charles, and I drove through, and I stopped at Hood's. I needed something. I saw Kevin Engler Park, and I was like, are you kidding me? And I didn't know anything. I was like 21, 22, didn't know anything about it. Very interesting thing. I think it's funny. I see people talk about the folks that helped. You were a Republican when there wasn't Republicans.
We had no elected Republicans in six counties when I started. And I now that. We got them all but one. And not because they're Republican, because they represent views of the people, I think. And that's what we want to try to keep doing that. If it ever becomes where the Republicans don't represent them, I will run for support who I have supported, Democrats. Yeah. I have supported independents, because I have met crappy Republicans and bad Democrats and vice versa, good ones in both parties. And I think we have to do a better job of discerning the difference between good politicians and bad politicians. And I think if the people would do that, we would have a better product.
Thank you so much for presenting. We really appreciate it.
Always a good time.
Podcast executive producer, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Becky, thank you as always.
Always fun.
Always want to thank the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week, live from the State Capitol.